con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
We're just under 2 months away from the start of the footy season, and a lot of predictors are already out. We're going through every team's over and under in the next hour or so. We're going to run through them very quickly. My name's Josh Barnes. I've got Matthew Forrest, and I've got Chris Kavanagh with me. We've gone through every team. We're going to do it alphabetical order, which means we start with Adelaide, over under 14.5 wins. Last year, they won 18. That's a big total. Can they measure up to that again, Cav?
I think they can, yeah. So I've got them as a lock to be over that 14.5 mark.
Lock from the start.
They're my first lock. I think they've brought in a two-time premiership player at the Lions in Callum Archie. They've lost no one of significance. The Adelaide Oval's a fortress for them. They went 12-1 there last year. Dan Curtin's ready to go full beast mode this year, I reckon, in the midfield as he moves on ball. And I think the straight sets finals exit last year was definitely disappointing, but I think they'll be pretty keen to bounce back from that, and I think they can. So I think they finish top four and easily go over that line. What do you reckon, Matt?
Yeah, I've got them going over the line as well. I've got them finishing on 16, so not quite as high as you, but I think there aren't any major losses from that side. As you mentioned, Archie coming in certainly helps them, and Dan Curtin going into that midfield mix. They were missing that sort of explosive player inside the centre square. And then obviously Isaac Rankin mm-hmm. has been dominating through there when he gets his chance. And I feel like 2026 is the year that he'll get that full stint in the midfield and you know, really tear the game apart.
Yeah, I had them over as well. I had to really think about it. I don't think they'll be anywhere near as good as 18 wins. I think they overachieved on that with a softer draw. And they dominated at home, as you said, Cav, but I think they'll probably maintain most of that. They've only hit the over four times since 2006, so they haven't had a great track record here. But in the past 3 years, they've got a bonus home game essentially every year. So yeah. I think that gets them to 15. Around. Yeah, I think that gets them to 15. So I think they probably just get there. But I think that one's going to be tighter than perhaps you think, Cav. Brisbane Lions, they're over under 15.5. They won the last two flags, won 16 last year. It's since 2019, Chris Fagan's team's won 16, 14, 15, 15, 17, 14, and 16. So they win a lot of games, Brisbane. I have them over here, but 16 is a lot, Cav. What do you think?
It is a lot, but yeah, considering, as you said, they won 16 in the draw last year. But does anyone actually think they're going to drop off? I don't think they are. Look at that midfield that they've got. It's only getting stronger. We saw what they did in the final series last year. They got a reasonable fixture. They're hard to beat at the Gabba. And I think that obviously Sam Draper and Oscar Allen coming in is a pretty nice boost. So, yeah, Draper goes straight into that number one ruckman spot and can also go forward and kick the old goal. And Oscar Allen, if he can get himself fit, I mean, he could be a 50-goal-a-season goal kicker for him forward. And they need that support for Logan Morris as well. So, yeah, I'm tipping the Lions to join that 2001 to 2003 team and secure the three-peat this year. So I've got them going over here.
Yeah, they're my lock to go over as well. I'll take them.
Lock at 15.5.
Yeah, I'll take the – I'm very optimistic on the Lions. As Cav has mentioned, they absolutely get better going into 2026. Oscar Allen, I think, will add a lot of quality to that forward line. They lose a couple of guys in defence, so they do need to shore that up. Obviously, Brandon Starcevic going over to West Coast. Eric Hipwood at some stage will come back and add a bit more quality to the forward line. Could be swung back as well just to help out down there with Harris Andrews. But you talk about Dan Annibal coming in through the draft. People spoke about him. Cav was big on him last year, saying that if he was in the Lions side in the back end of the year, he could have been playing in that finals campaign. So that adds another piece of quality there. Lose Callum Archer, as we mentioned before, with the Crows. But, he's absolutely the Lions in general, I think, are going to be a really strong side and hard to beat in this year.
Just needs to find another spot, Dan Annibal, doesn't he, if he wants to play this year. There's not many spots in that midfield for him. But, he can certainly play a half forward or a wing or a half back sort of role as well.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anybody looking at their list could think that they're worse off than they were last year. Mm. It's only if those injuries sort of start catching up to them, and they didn't last year. So it's hard to see them dropping off really in any meaningful way. Carlton is a real question mark. They've gone over their 8.5 of this year every year under Michael Voss. They won 9 last year, but nobody's really feeling good about the Blues. Forrest, if Charlie Kono's out, are they under this or are they over this?
It's funny. I've got them going under, but I actually like their structure more without Charlie in the side. They obviously add a couple of Swans players in Ollie Florent and Will Haywood. Haywood obviously makes a bit more difference in the forward line, but Florent off the half back will add a little bit there. They get Nick Newman back. I really like the 23 to 26 players that the Blues will rotate through pretty heavily as long as there aren't any major injuries. Tom DeConing out does hurt to an extent. I think Mark Pitnett as a number one ruck with Liam Reedy as a backup who plays forward with the new 23 players on the team. I think that makes a big, that offsets it a little bit. But in saying that, I don't love their game style, the way that Michael Voss has got them playing. I think they do need a change from last year.
Completely torn up.
There has been signs over the preseason that they're going to change that system and change the way they play and move it a bit more fluidly through the middle of the ground. But in years gone by, every team that's been coached by Michael Voss seems to be a really contested style, tackle-heavy team, and that just isn't football anymore. It doesn't really work in the current modern-day football. As it stands, it's really, propel off the half-back and push the ball as fast as you can forward and play a little bit of chaos footy.
Yeah, big year for Michael Voss, obviously. But I think, is it no Curnow, no Carlton? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure that Harry Mackay can hold up that forward line by himself. I also worry about their defence and what that looks like. They've gone with McGovern and Nick Haynes going around again this year. But, Jacob Wiedering really holds up that area of the ground for them. Yeah, they've got an OK midfield. Jagger Smith comes in, which is exciting for Blues fans. But, I've got them going under. I think it might be a long year for the Blues.
Yeah, they've got some real pressure points there, as you said, Cav. Like, Harry Mackay has to play 90% of their matches, and he's going to be almost a one-out forward for a lot of that. So there's a lot of pressure on him. Mike Pittman, as you said, is probably going to have to lead the ruck with Liam Reedy, who's unproven. That's a lot of pressure on that area. And the back line suddenly looks a lot weaker with McGovern, who they didn't really want anyway. Mm. They didn't want to re-sign him. They've got him back, and he might be starting in their best side. So there's a lot of areas of issue. But I think if they are fit, they're still quite a good list. The question of if they're fit has been an issue for them as well. So I think over is reasonable for them here. And I'm going the over, but it could really fall apart and Michael Voss could be going on LinkedIn by May. We'll see what happens there. Collingwood has had a great track record under Craig McRae. They won 16 last year. Their over-under is 13.5 for this year. Craig McRae's career, 16 wins, 18 wins, 12 wins and 16. Generally, he wins games. So 13.5 seems a bit low to me. What do you guys think?
I think it's, well, we've said it the last couple of years, but it's Dad's Army at Collingwood, isn't it? So they're the oldest list in the competition this year, and I think the cliff is just about here for the Pies. We're already seeing that over pre-season. The old man injuries are bobbing up with the calves that Darcy Moore and Jeremy Howe and these guys have done. We've seen some hamstrings. They've had some injury issues. Nick Dacos isn't fully fit at the moment, it appears. They've also got the third hardest draw. They've got double up matches against Adelaide, Brisbane, Carlton, Geelong, Hawthorn and West Coast. West Coast is the only sort of easy one that you look at out of those. I think it might be time for the Magpies to miss finals this year and they'll have to regenerate their list a bit over the next few years.
Yeah, I feel like the cliff has been coming for a while. At least everyone talks about it and they've managed to find a way to stay relevant and keep winning games and, play a lot of finals. And, picking them to miss finals this year, which is what I'm doing, seems a bit stiff considering they did make a preliminary final last year. But I just don't see the quality of the young talent really coming through. Obviously, you can talk about Nick Dacos. He's a superstar of the competition. They've got some young guys that they're starting to blood, like Ed Allen, but there just isn't really that real depth of players there that's pushing the next generation through. You'd probably want a fair few more players that are in between that sort of 30 to 60 game range that can start to take a bit more responsibility and take a bit more pressure off the guys like Steel Sidebottom, Scott Pendlebury, who've been there forever. And obviously losing Brody Majacek to Melbourne as well. Question marks over what exactly the forward line looks like. Yeah. Reece McInnes coming back from an ACL. He was really important to their structure going into the year last year. Obviously that ACL very early on meant we didn't see him. Does he come back the same sort of player? In defence, he was supposed to fill that void of Nathan Murphy. So a lot of question marks. I've got the missing finals in a pretty easy under.
Yeah, I went the over here. I'm backing Craig McRae's track record. After 13 games last year, they had 11 wins, so they almost beat the over halfway through the season last year. So we forget how dominant they were in that first half of the year. Obviously, things fell away in the second half of the year, whether that's a sign of things to come or they just got a little bit fatigued. I guess we'll find out. I am worried about that forward line. So much was relying on Jamie Elliott last year. He probably can't have a season as good as that again. He kicked 60 goals last year and has never beaten 35 in a season before that. So that's asking a lot for him to repeat that. Bobby Hill is out at the moment for personal reasons. As you said, Brody Majcek's gone. Dan McStay is a big question mark. So there are issues up forward, but I just think their track record of winning games, they rack them up in the first half of the season, and I think they'll do that easily. The next team is not expected to win many games. Essendon's over-under is 7.5. It was a disaster of a season last year. They can't be that bad again, Cav, can they?
Well, I've got them going under. I think they can be.
they won six games last year, so
yes,
despite the disaster, they got reasonably close to their over-under.
Yeah, but they lost the last 13 on the trot, so that's a key point there.
Unfortunately, we had to watch them all on Thursday nights.
lost the last 13 by an average of 42 points, so we know about their injury issues that they had in the second half of last year, but that was a poor finish to the season. They did get a chance to blood a lot of young kids. They do have a young list. I think there is some reason for optimism in the next few years for the Bombers, but I don't think it'll be this year. I think all the messaging out of Tullamarine over the summer so far has been for fans to prepare for another tough season, and I think that's what we'll get. We know that they've changed their high performance department, so we hope that their injury list is a bit better this year. But
has to be, surely.
How can you know, really? Because a few of those guys have had a lot of soft tissue injuries, and they're all your older, more experienced guys, Langford, Parrish, these guys, Ridley. So Mackay, even Zach Reeds, they're important players down back that have had a lot of injury issues over multiple years now. So you can only hope that the Bombers have a better run, but I'm not sure that they will. Make the grade there at 7.5 wins either way.
Yeah, I've got them sneaking under the line as well. They'll be in a battle for a bottom four spot there. But the foundation for the next few years, as Kav mentioned, I really like. I think the talent is there from a youngsters' bracket. They'll try and blood games to guys like Dyson Sharp, Jacob Farrow, Sully Roby, the guys that they invested heavily in at the draft. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, Nate Caddy up forward, a couple of the small forwards there. If they can get Lewis Hayes back on the park as well. There's plenty of young talent, but they just need to play a lot of games together, try and stay fit. And I think, as Cav has mentioned, it's a focus on the future. It's probably 2027, 2028 and beyond. But I think the talent's certainly there to get about six wins this year. So they'll sneak under.
Yeah, I agree with you, Forrest. They're doing the right things and they're getting the right young talent in the door, but that means generally you lose if you're getting young talent in. They're getting younger every year. I think the language coming out of Essendon is we're getting younger, we're expecting to get younger, which means they're expecting to lose. So I think if they were picking themselves with truth serum, they would probably go unders here. And so I'm going under as well. I think they probably get five or six wins. And that doesn't mean it's a worse season than last year if they get less wins, but it means that they're probably looking at the future a lot more. Fremantle is not looking at the future. They're looking at the now. They want to be premiership contenders. Over under a 14.5 for them. They won 16 last year, one of the best seasons in club history, but still didn't make the top four. Frio go over, Cav?
I've got them going over. And yeah, you mentioned that they won 16 last year, but they've been building nicely, the Dockers, over the last 3 years now. So they went from 10 wins to 12 wins to 16 wins last year. They made that jump. Obviously had that very disappointing finals loss to Gold Coast last September, but I think that'll spur them on this year. And they just can't take a backward step from the trajectory that they've been on. So I think they've got the list ready to go, and they've got enough stars. If they have a good run with injury, that they should really be pushing for top four, and Justin Longmuir probably needs that, doesn't he? So, big year for the Dockers, I think.
Yeah, I think you could argue they've probably got one of the most complete midfields in the competition. If you look at the star power and the ruck, Sean Darcy, Luke Jackson, depending on who, you know, takes the number one ruck mantle, you could even play Jackson as a full-time midfielder and he'd cope just fine. But then you look at Caleb Sarong, you look at Andy Brayshaw. They need to get plenty of games out of Hayden Young as well. And then going forward, you know, Josh Tracy is an absolute beast and could easily kick 50, 60 goals this year and absolutely dominate up forward. Down back, they're pretty solid. So I've got them going over just slightly, finishing on 15 wins, so just nudging that over mark. But, plenty to like out of Freo, and as Cav said, they just can't take a backward step.
Yeah, the only sort of downside here is believing in Fremantle. That's let us down before. So that's my only wariness. Otherwise, I think they're pretty reasonably comfortably get this over. What's your over-under, Cav, on games that Mason Cox plays for Fremantle?
I don't think he's playing many. Probably none.
Yeah, I think the amount of times he plays in that three-headed ruck monster is going to be very, very minimal. But good luck to him over in the West. Geelong wins games year after year after year. They have tallied them up under Chris Scott. 15.5 is their over-under this year. They won 17 last year. They're finishing the top four five of the last six seasons, which means generally you win more than 15.5. Do they do it again for us?
Yeah, I think they do. I think history will repeat itself. I've got them 17 wins for 2026. They, I don't think they're necessarily a much better side, but they get 10 games at Cadinia Park, which is happy hunting ground for them. They add James Warble to a midfield that probably didn't need him, but they'll find a way to use him. Him and Tom Atkins will be a really good pairing to sort of wax and wane in that defensive midfield role. Their forward line probably gets a little bit older. But Shannon Neal, I think, is coming into his own. Another year under the belt will be really good for him. And their back line is ultra professional. I think Zach Guthrie, my apologies. Zach Tui's long retired.
He was good, though.
He was good, yeah. But, Guthrie is a absolute underrated gun of the competition. And he's absolutely flying at the moment. He's taking a lot of responsibility off Tom Stewart as he sort of ages out and sort of gets closer to his retirement, but ultra professional. They got a really good home ground that they take full advantage of, and I just think that they'll keep on winning.
It just looks strong across the board, doesn't it? And it has, not much has changed from last year. Their list is, their midfield's great. They're with those Dash brothers, their forward line's got plenty of avenues to go. Their defence is rock solid. You can't pick apart much there. I learned a long time ago not to doubt Chris Scott and Geelong, and so I'm going the overs as well because it's hard to see them with the strengths they've got going under.
I actually went the under here, and that's more of a vibes pick than anything else. I think 15.5 is quite hard to reach, and I think this year, surely more than last year, we'll see a bit of a stretch in the ladder. Last year was very much the top nine won a lot more games than we're used to, so I think that'll come back a couple, and they might win 14 or 15 and still be fighting for the top four spot. I think injuries will start to catch up with them a little bit. A few of those older players that they still rely on so heavily may be struck down a little bit throughout this year. They're still searching for a ruckman, really. They couldn't get Rowan Marshall in. They've got a couple of youngsters, but still it looks like Reece Stanley would be starting in their best team. And he had a good year last year, but I think that means they're open to sort of issues in there. So it might be a small step back, and it doesn't mean they can't win the flag, but I think they just go slightly under the 15.5. It's a very hard mark to reach. And that's what Gold Coast has on their board, 15.5 for them. They've never won more than that in their club history. Best year last year of 15. Forrest, can they get one more and go over here?
I've got them getting one more. Nudging it over again, 16. They'll be pushing for a top four spot. Career year last year, and they had Christian Petrarca, Jamara Ugle-Hagan. If they can clean him up and get him on the park, obviously missed all of last season on the footy field. So if they add him in, just becomes absolutely dynamic up forward. But Petrarca, I think, is an absolute class addition to a midfield that, is already really strong. Even if he plays a lot of his footy up forward, he can be really damaging there. They've just got, stars across the park. They've got young guys coming through that are starting to hit their straps and looking really dangerous as well. And, that home field advantage as well is quite strong up on the Gold Coast. So I've got them going over.
Yeah, I've got them going over as well. Yeah, probably a bit of a line ball call as well. But I think they can genuinely be a top four team this year and be pushing for a premiership. I mean, they'll take a lot of confidence out of that first finals win that they got last year over in Perth, and you add in Christian Petrarca, as Matt said, to Noah Anderson and Matt Riau. Good luck stopping those three if you're in opposition midfield. So, if Jamara can get back to his best, that's another boost for their forward line. Add him in with Ben King, Ben Long, these guys as well, and you've got some real goal kickers down there as well. So I think the Suns are going to be pretty dangerous this year and should take the next step.
Yeah, I'm locking them in as an over. They're my first lock of the day. They don't lose in Darwin, so you can count that in. Their home record was 9-2 last year. They might even go better than that this year. They're very, very hard to beat up north. So I think they win a lot of games and finish in the top two. I'd be tipping them as my minor premier tip at this stage. So I think they really rack them up. GWS is up next. 13.5 is their over. Under Adam Kingsley, they've gone 13 wins, 15 wins and 16 wins. Are the odd makers being a little bit harsh here, Cav?
Yeah, I'm not sure about you guys, but I found this one to be a bit of a tough call. I've got it really borderline. I've got GWS going under in the end, just because you can't have them all going over, and that's the nature of this game. But Yeah, I think the Giants at least make the wild card round game at the end of the year. But not everyone can win 14 games and finish top eight. So Clayton Oliver should be a pretty big recruit. He could be an absolute bargain if he gets himself right. If they get a full season out of Jesse Hogan, that'd be a nice boost. Aaron Cadman's ready to go to the next level. Finn Callahan as well. They're two of the best young players in the competition. So I'm almost talking myself into him.
It sounds like you're going over
here, but no, I've got him just going under. Probably wins 13 games.
I've got them going over, going against your way of thinking in terms of you can't have them all over. No, I think, Aaron Cadman's is ready to take that number one forward role off Jesse. He's, I think he'll be, pushing all Australian this year. Clayton Oliver, is, as you said, is a bargain pick. It'll be interesting to see how him and Tom Green work, but then you throw in, Finn Callahan. He's ready to take the competition by storm if he hasn't already. And then that orange tsunami coming off halfback. There were times last year where you watch them play and you just couldn't believe that this team wasn't, 20-0, 21-0. They were just absolutely obliterating the competition. Just comes down to consistency and how consistent that side can be when it comes to, when the whips are cracking and how the game is going. But they've got two home grounds that they play pretty good football at. Mm. So I've got them going over.
No, I'm with Cav here that I, for some reason, went the under. I'm not really sure why. I think probably just someone has to. I think they make sense to me as a 12-13 win wildcard team. I think they probably slot into that position. Well, I'm not completely sold on Clayton Oliver as an addition. I'm sure he might have a good personal season, but I'm not sure at this stage of your career how much he helps winning. And I don't think the fit with Tom Green really works. When you have two of those guys, you have to have a lot right around him, and they didn't really have that last year. So they're going to have to do a lot of massaging there. But I think they probably just go under, but wouldn't surprise me if they're in the top four racking up the wins. As you said, for us, sometimes they look like the best team in the competition by far. And then other times they don't. And often for half of a final, they look like the best team in the competition. For the other half, they don't. So they have a little bit of work there on their consistency. So that's why I probably give them the under on that one. And that is halfway. So we will take a little bit of a break now, catch our thoughts, go back to the ladder predictor, and we'll be back for the second half after this.